us. Thank you guys for leading us in worship this morning. I like the environment that you created just sitting around the piano. It was very inviting for me. Thank you. Just before I dive into this, I just wanted to take one second. Like, we've been praying lots for people at a camp, and it really, I think, highlighting camp ministry a lot this summer. And one of the things I think is so special about camp ministry is the intense amount of time that someone is there in that environment. And it's an intentional environment. The leadership of the camps that we support and that we have people at, they plan and they put a lot of thought into the campers and their experience and into developing and training their staff and supporting their staff. This intense time that a camper, a child, a young adult is at camp, they really go through a journey with God. And if you think about it, like think of like our club ministry. I mean, they meet 20, 24 times a week. I don't know, a year, thank you, not a week. Woo! Just about lost any potential boys club leaders there. But in a year, right? And if they're there an hour and a half a night, you know, 2 hours, that's like 50 hours in a year, right? Youth ministry, we meet about 30 times, 35 times a year. This weekly, that's 70 hours, say, roughly, a year. Well, 70 hours, that almost happens in a weekend retreat. And then a week-long camp is, I can't do the math in my head that fast, but it's a lot more hours. And the students are in this environment. And it's an environment where technology isn't there. Like, they don't have their cell phones with them. They don't have a broken home sometimes around them. They don't have the worries or the stresses that are sometimes at home. And, camp ministry is really powerful. I just wanted to take a moment just to sort of, I don't know, I don't want to say defend, but remind why we've been spending so much time highlighting camp this summer. And so, please, it's the last week, I think, for most camps. Please pray for them. Pray that they finish strong. I know, like, at SABC, a lot of their staff got sick. Did you get sick, Jenna, last week? Yeah. See? And they still work. They keep working, you know. And I was with some of the staff yesterday, and they're exhausted. And they have one more week. And, I mean, on Sunday, they get amped up, and they get excited, and they get ready. And just, if you think of it, pray for them. When you're sitting down at a meal, pray for those that are at camp, that they finish strong, and God would continue to do his work and use these camps. I'm just going to pray quickly, and we're going to dive into this. Father God, thank you that you're at work. And again, we've already prayed for camps, but just bless those camps. And I think of like Crow's Nest right now. They're going this whole weekend. Just encourage their staff. Guard and watch over their hearts, Lord God. And I pray for the staff who aren't sure what's happening this fall for them. They don't even know what's going on yet. They don't have a job lined up or maybe even a place to stay. Would you provide, Lord God, would those lessons that they've been teaching young people, may they just find that you are faithful and true, that they can depend on you. And I pray for the campers that are coming out, those who are getting ready and already out at camp. Think of Evergreen, think of SABC, of Crow, of Sunny Bay, Lord God, and the many other camps. God, would you continue to draw people to you? And this morning, as we gather around your word, as we discuss the topic of humility, would you just speak to us and move in our midst, Lord God? I love you, and in your name, amen. So this is like part three on this one small verse, Micah 6:8, that I bring to you this summer. And if I'm truly honest, that's tough. It's a lot of time to spend on these little verses. In some regards, I feel like there's a lot I didn't say that I could have said. And at the same time, I'm like, wow, we're still on this verse. You know, like this tension exists in so many areas of our life. Pastor Gary also talked about humility in the renewal series already from 2 Chronicles 7:14. I think that's maybe the next slide. I could be wrong, but the verse, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. So I feel like we've spent a good amount of time talking about humility. It's come up in a lot of different ways when we've talked about justice and mercy. Pastor Gary also talked about 1 James 1:27. But yet here we are again on the same topic again of humility. And before we dive in, you guys are really smart, and you know your Bibles. Who are some examples that come to your mind when you think of a changed heart or someone who's been changed? An example, you see a humility sort of maybe played into that. The Apostle Paul? Yeah. Great example, eh? Anyone else? Apostle Peter, yeah, totally, right? Joseph, yeah, that's who's on my heart too. Moses, I hadn't thought of him. David, yeah. Mary, that's good. I'm assuming the mother of Jesus, Mary, is that? Or Mary, thank you. Gideon. Thank you. Joseph's brother. Wow. They always get a bad rap, don't they? Yeah. Yeah, they did change, you're right. Never thought of that, really. We focus so much on Joseph usually in that story, yeah. But you're right. Yeah. Josiah? Okay. Thank you. So I think we probably could keep going and more stories or examples would come to mind. And Pastor Gary said this too already, but like Jesus is like the greatest example, I think, really, in humility. It is like a character trait of God in a way, right? And any of these people that we've mentioned, I think, could be a sermon, could be a series, and we would find examples of humility lived out in their life. John Piper has this working definition of biblical humility, and I just wanted to highlight it. He sort of has 5 points about it. I'm just saying them to stir the pot a little bit. I'm not going to dwell on these or stay on these long. First, he says, humility begins with a sense of subordination, submitting to God in Christ. Humility does not feel a right to better treatment than Jesus got. Number three, humility asserts truth not to boast your ego with control or with triumph in debate, but as service to Christ and love to the and love to those who are opposing them. Number four, humility knows it is dependent on grace for an all-knowing and believing. Humility knows it is fallible, and so considers criticism and learns from it, but humility also knows that God has made provision for human conviction and that he calls us to persuade others. So our verse that we've been working through, he has shown you, What does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. In part one, I looked at justice and how there's sort of two working forms of justice. Justice in the fact that we live holy in different lives, but then also a secondary justice where we step in making wrongs right. In part two, I talked about love mercy, how having compassion or forgiveness for those who are oppressed or marginalized. Often we have the power to stand over a person who could punish or do them harm, but instead we choose to show them mercy. And I really believe that showing mercy is motivated when you realize that you have experienced mercy. I wanted to sort of go through the Bible, because humility comes up a lot in the Bible, and there's warnings and blessings attached to so many verses. And this is just, I want to say like wall art, like pictures of verses, you know, that you see that are quoted, and there's so many more. I'm just going to show you a couple of them, okay? In Proverbs 18:12, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. The humble will see their God at work and be glad. Let all who seek God's help be encouraged. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Now, a lot of those things, like, I read that and it's like, yeah, I want that. I want to be exalted, or I want the honor, I want salvation, I want those things attached to it. But then it's kind of like, but wait a second, am I being humble because I want, do you understand? Like, and maybe that's not the right definition that you'd have of humility in your mind, because I do believe that when we want God, I think of like fear, how we're supposed to fear God, but yet there's this tension of like, he's a loving God, but yet we have this element of fear mixed in there, of he has all power, and he holds everything and sustains everything, and with a second our breath could be gone. But yet he loves us because he made us and he created us. These verses that we read, humility also is essential to Christian living. Here's a verse. I don't know if you can read. Oh, it's bigger back there. Philippians 2. 3 and 4, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. When I read that verse, it actually reminded me of this one time at camp. And I was a counselor, and I'm pretty sure it was like my first summer out there, or maybe my second. So like, I'm around 18 years old. I'm either 17 or 18 years old. And camp for me was a spot where I sort of found some of the confidence or in who God made me. I was a pretty shy and small kid growing up, and at camp it gave me a spot to sort of figure out how I'm wired and how God made me, and even in the area of leadership. And I remember this one week, the program director over at the fort was saying, hey, Darren, on